I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I hit my 10,000 steps. I was reading a New York Times article on steps. Okay? And I'm gonna tell you on the outset, the study that this article is quoting, pretty thin. I mean, I read the study, I'm like, this is pretty thin. I mean, these kinds of studies for the ideal amount of steps that helps with whatever, or this diet, it's such a, health is such a multivariate subject. It's not, it can't just be steps, and I'm sure that they're trying to account for other things, but man, are they accounting, are all the people in the study eating the exact same thing? Do they have the exact same lifestyle, stress associated with that lifestyle? It's really hard to quantify, okay, well then if this amount of steps, so it's pretty thin, but here's a quote. Quote, meanwhile, the sweet spot for reducing the risk of premature death was about 4,500 steps per day, the data showed. A woman who reached that threshold was about 40% likely to have died during the follow-up period than someone who walked, who was taking about 2,700 steps per day. And then another quote, we were quite surprised that such a relatively small number of steps would be associated with such a substantial reduction in mortality, Dr. Lee says. And I was like, you mean small steps makes a difference? What the fuck? He's not talking about small steps, like my small steps. I'm just saying he said small number of steps. His words, not my words. My favorite part of the article is that the 10,000 steps per day thing is a bunch of bullshit, which I knew it was, but it just so is. There's no study about it. They think it's sourced back to some app that was created in Japan, and the name of the app meant 10,000 steps. And so everyone just goes, oh, that must mean it's the ideal with no basis for us to make that conclusion. So there we go. Send it to the mainstream. Send it to the place where the whole protein craziness lives, and then that'll just be what is dogma with nothing to support it. Just let that be that. Protein and 10,000 steps, and also combining beans and rice for a complete protein. Let's all put those together, and people can just talk about them and have opinions about them, and they're based on nothing. I'm drinking ice water. Ice water. Yeah. Yeah. You know why? I'm next level like that. I'm an aristocrat. Okay. I don't, the working class has room temperature. I go ice. That's me. Okay. You can't even hear it jingle really because it's freaking hot up here. Anyway. And so, look, I'm not, if I'll tell you this, if trying to hit 10,000 steps gets you moving, great. I'm all for that, right? I'm just saying, you'd be happier and healthier if you moved your body throughout the day and didn't count steps. And if you haven't seen my micromanagement video, you might want to do yourself a favor and check that out. It's on the YouTube channel. And subscribe while you're there, will you? Jesus. I just did a micro. It's kind of where I'm at right now. Micromanagement. And so, you know, I'm saying it gets you. Look, it's like, you know what it's like? If you spend all your time on food prep planning and data gathering and counting and analysis, and you're putting all the things you eat into an app, and if you do that and it gets you to eat healthier, that's great. I just want you to know that you'd be healthier and happier if you ate well most of the time and didn't do all that crap. I'm just saying you'd be healthier and happier if you didn't. If it gets you to be a certain level of health and happiness, and you feel like that's good and you kind of nail that, that's great. I'm just saying you'd be healthier and happier if you just ate well and didn't do all the data gathering. Okay? I then scrolled down in this article to the very bottom, and like bottom, because I wanted to see footnotes. I wanted to see if there was any kind of sourcing. They linked to the main study, which is, again, pretty thin. But alas, there was no footnotes. But there was a bunch of comments, and I usually don't even read comments, but I just was down there anyway. I thought, when in Rome. So the ultra favorite part, even beyond the fact that 10,000 steps is meaningless, is that I read these two comments. Within the first like 15 comments were these two. And these are this made the whole effort 100% worth it. Number one comment, quote, oh, I figured it out. Every day I reach my 10,000 steps, I can have a glass of scotch. I walk to the gym, I walk the dog. Sometimes I run in place in front of the bar. It all adds up. I would literally be friends with that person. They would be, if I met them, they would be my BFF, period. Second comment. Quote, in bad weather, I've been known to crank up the music, a podcast, or the TV news, and walk a repetitive path through my condo for 45 minutes. My cats park themselves on the sofa to stay out of the way. Again, I can't beat that. I can't improve on it. It's perfection. Somebody had that idea. They're doing this and decided it was comment worthy to leave in this comment at the bottom of a New York Times article about the amount of steps that's ideal for to avoid reduce the risk of premature death. Let me talk about how my cats got to stay out of my, not just in bad weather, I'll even walk around my condo to get my steps in. That would be like, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool, good idea. Walk around your condo. That makes sense. But no, I've got to add the little ditty about the cats just to paint the full picture of my life. Oh. I'm thinking that there's nobody else in that condo besides the cats because they didn't say my partner and or spouse stays out of my way. So I'm thinking it's a single person. Big surprise. Okay, I just paused for a second because probably a bunch of people stopped and then unsubscribed to me. And so again, this is a weeding process for the elite, the ice water drinking elite of us. Now we're together, okay? We weeded out the people who can't, they don't see what we see. That's fine. Look, that's fine. I'm doing that whole, thank you to everybody on who has come on board. Patreon, I got a few new Patreoners. They call them patrons, but I call them Patreoners. Why? Because I don't dance for the man. That's why. But a recent one I got was this guy from Norway. Now, you guys know my obsessive kind of thing about Norway right now. So do you think it's a coincidence that somebody from Norway came on as a patron? I don't. I'm running that special until my 50th episode. This is episode 49. You have one more episode to jump in on Patreon, no matter what level. I will send you a signed copy of Raising Healthy Parents. I did that to this guy in Norway. His name's Sebastian. I'm going to say his first name, Sebastian. You know why? Because I hate that I have to do this to you. But this is on your shoulders now because you're a Norwegian Patreon of me. You have got to find me and my family a situation over there. Job, housing, something so that I can make the move to Norway. I'm sorry that's on you. It's a shitty situation that you're in. But now, because you're donating to my podcast, I believe that that's a verbal contract of you finding some sort of job for me over there so I can move my entire family over. I don't know. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that's what you have bought on by joining Patreon. Rip Off the Band-Aid is the name of this podcast. This has been, I'm surprised, and I sometimes look, like I have ideas for this podcast, and I go, I wonder if I did this for the Approaching the Natural podcast, because there were so many episodes. In fact, I was going back in this regard because I thought, have I done a thing on this? Because this has been a constant theme, things I've thought about for years, right? And so I was like, I did a quick search on my, because I kept my notes for Approaching the Natural, like all 222, like I have all that, right? And so, I am, going through old notes, and I'm trying to figure out if I've done this before. And so I started glancing at old notes. Man, it's like a time capsule. It's like, because I was doing announcements back then, so I do like, you know, whatever, how many, sometimes a lot. And that's why for this episode, in this podcast, just stopped doing it because it was annoying. Hi, I'm Sid Garza-Hillman. That whole thing. I'm speaking here. It's all in the show notes this time. So I kind of just bust through. So I read all those notes, and I mean, just I saw some from before the first race that I directed, and just talking about how just scared to death I was, and I was, and nervous, and anxiety, and all this kind of stuff. It was like a walk down memory lane. But the Band-Aid issue, the rip off the Band-Aid idea, is very. It's been a constant sort of theme that's interspersed in my life because I see a human need to cover symptoms instead of taking care of the underlying problem. This is a prevalent thing. Now, of course, you're jumping right into the idea that to the fact that I'm a nutritionist. I'm a small steps coach. I deal in the world of health and fitness. And so a lot of that is kind of, you know, for instance, like eating a shitty diet and taking a lot of vitamin pills, that's a Band-Aid. That's not dealing with the problem of the bad diet. That's trying to fix a situation without actually fixing the situation. diets are a band-aid. Diets are like, well, I want to lose weight. I don't want to do the actual work to be at a healthy weight. So I'm going to do a diet to fix the problem, so-called, but not really fix the problem because the underlying thing. I get questions all the time still to this day, especially because I'm involved in the Fraser thing, Health Made Simple. People who say, I've got an issue with junk food. And I'm constantly saying, and I'm one of the only people who does this, by the way, your issue is not with junk food. You already, the knowledge I can give you about junk food, you already know, which is it's not good for you. The issue you have is whatever is leading you to the junk food. It's not like we don't, most of us, we're not locked in a room surrounded by Twinkies and we just go, look, I got nowhere else to go. I mean, they locked the door and this is my issue. That's okay. That's like, yeah, you've got nothing. Fine. But we all are autonomous enough to walk away. Why it's difficult has nothing to do with the fact that we don't know Twinkies are bad for us. Why it's difficult is because we are in a big old battle in the modern world with a whole bunch of reasons, as I've talked about a ton of times, which is that we are, a Twinkie is engineered to be a drug. And so we are battling that thing. We do have control. We do have the ability to get on top of it. We do. We absolutely do. But let's identify the issue first, which is, are we stressed enough in our lives and overtaxed and overtired enough in our lives where we're losing that battle? Or are we well-rested enough, well-fed enough, self-cared for enough, well-cared for by others enough, and that goes both ways, to win that battle some, if not most, if not all the time. Maybe not all the time, but you know my most of the time thing, right? Most of the time, right? So we want the feeling, I guess, of that we're, I'm dealing with this. I'm overweight and I'm going on a diet. I'm handling it, but we're not. And then the problem is that we suffer big losses mentally, psychologically, when we don't succeed long term. And of course, that's our real goal, succeeding long term. And we don't on these quick fixes. And so the hit is, I think the hit outweighs any benefit we get from feeling for the moment like we're dealing with a problem, but we're really not. The failure of that, the perceived failure of that, is really rough on us. I mean, really rough. And what that's going to do is, of course, lead us to solving, putting the Band-Aid on the problem again, which is, again, like the Ben and Jerry's at the end of the day, is a Band-Aid on a shitty day. And I have always said that I understand it. I get it. I'm there. There are, when I'm drinking more scotch leading up to my healthy trail ultra marathon, because it's just a clusterfuck of stress and pressure and craziness, and I have to make an effort, and Lisa helps me so that I'm not drinking a lot, you know, so I'm having like maybe one or two more during the week than I usually would, but that's more than, I don't want to sustain that. That's, you know, I'm drinking more coffee because I'm tired and so on and so forth. Race comes and I'm like, okay, we're good. Got to reset the clock there. There are ebbs and flows. I get it. I understand. But I totally want to be able to. The power of this is the identification of the actual problem. I don't think I have a problem with junk food or coffee when the race is happening. I think that I'm dealing with the race. If I felt like the race was tanking my health long term, I would quit it. I would never do it again. If it was not worth it for me in the long run, if it was sacrificing my family or my health or my happiness in a long-term way, I would quit it. It's fine. I would quit it and start playing Quidditch. $100 to anybody who saw that coming. Mm. Okay. Diets are Band-Aid. Here, I'll piss you off. Ready? Affirmative action is a Band-Aid. Didn't see that coming either, did you? In the political realm, we are all about that. We're all about slapping a Band-Aid. Do I think affirmative action is necessary? Totally. You want to know why? Because nobody has the courage to fix the actual problem. They go, there's disparities and it's unfair. Certain races get unfair treatment. So let's not take care of how they're treated. Let's create a system that has quotas and allows them to get in and sort of does it on the back end, but not actually create a fair school system so that every student has all the same resources and all the same quality of teachers, and the teachers get paid well everywhere, and the schools are really nice inside and painted and look really good and are a very positive place to be, and we make it a little easier on parents so they don't have to be working 3-4 frickin' jobs, and they can be more involved in the family, and we offer them education. We don't want to deal with all that. It's too much work. We don't want to do the hard work. We don't want to do the hard work. Let's slap a Band-Aid on it. And then we get attached to that. Then the beauty of the political world is then they say, you know, we're going to take affirmative action away. And the conversation is totally moved to protecting affirmative action, and it's never going to be about the actual problem that exists in society, which is a problem of basic level playing field that I would love to see. I want to see a basic level playing field and then see who succeeds, because a lot less of the people you think will succeed will actually succeed. Just FYI there. Start making competition actually fair, and then let's see who rises to the top. I think you'll be very surprised. Probably nobody that leads now would be in that position. Yes? Got it? Okay, good. We all would be. We drink ice water. I'm just saying the people. Tylenol, Pepto-Bismol, all these ibuprofen, these are Band-Aids. Are they necessary short-term? Sometimes. Absolutely. Look, I used a painkiller when I was when I injured my back doing my Spartan race. Lifted a freaking tractor tire just with no business lifting a tractor tire. I didn't do the research on it, so I was like, maybe I can lift a tractor tire in the moment. And jacked my back a little bit. Took a painkiller for a day, and that was that. Is it amazing? Yes, because it's not natural for me to be lifting a tractor tire, so I matched that craziness with a little bit of unnatural painkiller action, and it's fine, and it did its job, thank God, because I had a four-hour drive afterwards. But it's not long-term. It's not long-term. And so if you're in pain, if you have an upset stomach, if you have to take Pepto, I remember seeing a commercial years ago. It was like an overweight guy eating a hot dog, and he's like, takes a bite, and he's like, oh, you know, does that kind of, oh, Pepto-Bismol, that'll solve the problem. Hey, I have an idea. Hey, what if you didn't eat the hot dog and you actually got yourself in shape and started freaking taking care of yourself and actually be like a strong human being? What would that be weird? Because then you wouldn't need Pepto-Bismol. Our society is built on Band-Aids. Start to look a little bit in politics and the things that are thrown out as Band-Aids to cover the actual problem, and we don't really want to see it. I think some Band-Aids are better than nothing in a way. I think they're a step in the right direction. But the problem is if they go to, I'll put it this way, if they go a step toward fairness, yes. But they're not a help if they give people a false sense that the underlying problem has been or is being solved, because that's just not the case most times. A Band-Aid is a slap on the problem, and if it's a short-term issue, it can be amazing, but if it's a long-term issue, it usually means it's a change of conversation, and the actual conversation is one that nobody wants to have, especially the people that are in a position to actually solve the problem. They don't want to take care of that problem. They really don't. It's too much work, and we don't want to work hard. That would be ridiculous to actually fix the underlying problem. I do want to be clear, because I, you know, this is what Sid thinks, this podcast, and I go out and I talk about the things that are on my mind. And I'm ranting some days because there's things in the society where I'm like, look, we've got to have a conversation about this, especially in the social media world and everything else. Let's have a conversation. But I want to be clear that I'm not just like a talk show host that goes, this is what's happening, and then I go sit in my Rolls Royce. I'm actually also trying to fix these things. I'm working with people every day. I'm teaching classes. I am on Health Made Simple. I'm on Small Steppers. I'm doing stuff too. I don't talk about that stuff on this podcast, but I want to be clear that I'm not just sitting here going like, that's shitty and that shitty and that thing over there sucks. Look at that, how bad that is. I'm saying, let's identify what is actually at stake here. What are the challenges of our species? What are the challenges at play in this country, United States anyway? And obviously, I've got people all over the world. Sebastian, if you have not found me a job, get on it. There's people all over the world. We are in this constant challenge. And it's a fun, we're trying to beat the odds. Like those of us who are trying to take on the world and maintain control in any places that we can, because bad stuff happens. And those of us who rise and say, look, I understand that bad stuff happens. I'm not going to try to cover it. I'm not going to try to justify it. I'm not going to try to convince myself it's not happening. I'm going to look it straight in the damn eye, and I'm going to say, okay, you don't get me here. You don't get to win. I'm making moves. And the process of that is what makes us feel the most alive. It is taking on those challenges in a way. But we've got to understand what the challenges actually are. And we've got to really, in a way, understand what the actual solutions are, so that while we may need a short-term Band-Aid, we also have a very clear direction of what's actually going to solve these issues. in the health and happiness world, in the health and fitness world that I'm in, but also in the political arena, also in the education arena, they're all interconnected, you guys. They're all interconnected. Band-aid culture, when you think about it, makes perfect sense because we rarely like to see what we see when the band-aid comes off.
I lived on Phillips Avenue. Things would be presented so simply, and I lived on Phillips Avenue. I wouldn't have to beg for an unraveling. I lived on Phillips Avenue. I walk around with a wall around me. Blind and deaf and dumb at most things, I'd see more clearly than I've ever seen. And if I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be. Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't re-question these wrong decisions. But if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I'd be so satisfied you wouldn't even know me. You'd think I never needed. If I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be if I were you. Maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be. They cannot be. They cannot be. I lived on Phillips Avenue.